Good afternoon. You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. It's Midday Magazine for Tuesday, the 22nd of September, 2020. I'm Joe Vicnicki with the local news. Petersburg's Borough Assembly yesterday approved a revision and expansion of local law on responding to emergencies, but not before removing some of the most controversial language in the draft ordinance. And some on the Assembly are interested in taking another look at the local health mandates that are still in place. Here's more in this report.
The ordinance spells out responsibilities for the borough manager, an incident commander, and assembly during an emergency. As proposed, it outlined orders that can be enacted during a disaster that included curfews, business closures, and limitations on public gatherings. It's a permanent version of a temporary local law that's been in place since March but expires this week. Opposition to both the temporary version and a permanent version has been strong this year. Here are local residents Boston Reed and Amanda Omer.
The rights of the people are not granted to them by government, which in turn means the government has no authority to absolve, suspend, or tamper with these rights in any fashion. The borough has the ability and duty to serve its citizens by forming a strong emergency response team. We can easily do this by issuing recommendations based on the best available information at the time.
Well, we all understand that we need this for emergencies. Let's not pretend that the additional 4 pages of verbiage that has been added to this has anything to do with tsunamis or earthquakes. This is all about COVID. When you read through this, this doesn't say anything to me except for we do not trust you, the people of Petersburg. We do not trust you to make the decisions in regards to keeping ourselves, our families, and our city
Residents have been circulating a position statement asking the Assembly to vote down the proposed revision. They say they gathered over 485 signatures. Other local residents supported passage of this revision, asking for clear language on the chain of command and how restrictions to life and business can be enacted and removed. The Assembly vote from Monday is a little complicated. Assembly member Bob Lynn moved to amend the local law to require Assembly approval for ordering a curfew, closing businesses, and limiting gatherings, and that passed unanimously. Lynn next moved to entirely remove the sections on curfews and limiting gatherings. 2 of the 3 sections just changed. That too passed by a 7-0 vote. His third amendment requires an Assembly review of the law in 24 months.
And it comes back to a couple people who had commented on the need for checks and balances earlier. And I was thinking that by that time, hopefully, we're past the current situation we're dealing with, and we're somewhat back to normal, hopefully. And at that time, if there's parts of it that aren't working, parts of it we had wrong, parts of it that say that that the public come forward and says, no, we need another change, they give us a chance to do that and actually put it on an agenda to do it.
Like the other changes, that passed unanimously. Still, that leaves language on closing businesses if the Assembly approves or calling in outside law enforcement help. The law also still has allowances for ordering evacuations, and it has catch-all language that allows for, quote, orders reasonably necessary to address the civil emergency and for the protection of life and property, unquote. The existing ordinance predates the formation of the borough. It's shorter, less specific about restrictions in the community, and authorizes the manager to implement an emergency preparedness plan. That plan hasn't been updated since 2001, and it doesn't include any specific response to a pandemic. The borough is in the process of drafting a community plan that does specifically address a public health emergency. J. Stanton Greger thought the updated law with more specific language is needed.
To put it simplistically, the old city code was really loosey-goosey. You know, as a home rule borough, we have broad powers, and I, from a civil liberties perspective, like this refines our roles. We can't override state, we can't override federal government, not that we could to begin with, but it really clarifies our, what we can and cannot do, as opposed to leaving a broad spectrum out there. And from a civil liberties perspective, I I like that more. I think it gives greater protections. I know some folks have spoken tonight who don't see it that way, and I respect their view.
Petersburg last reported a positive COVID case more than a month ago and is on the verge of returning to all in-person schooling this month. Mayor Mark Jensen had heard enough opposition to the proposed ordinance.
And in Petersburg, anyway, I don't think we have an emergency right now. I could see where the public is having some heartburn with this ordinance being put in. With the situation that Petersburg is currently in, we have no hospitalizations, we don't have any active cases, we have like 46 tests that we don't have back, don't have results back for, I should say.
The vote was 5-2 to pass the amended law, with Brandy Tinas and Jensen voting no. Assemblymember Lynn wants to revisit any remaining health mandates and look at removing those possibly. Assemblymember Taylor Norheim agreed and thought people were overreacting to national news.
Things are weird and crazy down there right now, but they're not here, other than the COVID restrictions. And I'm with Bob on that. They need to start going away, because, you know, you tell me there's an emergency, okay. Well, I don't see it, and I understand that it's a virus, you're not going to see it, and it'll get here and you won't know. But when it does, you lock things back down a little bit. It was 15 days to slow the curve. I don't know what day we're on now. But just the short is, don't apply what's going on down south up here, because it's not the same, not even remotely. Just calm down a little bit.
The local health mandates that still remain in place address in-person public participation at meetings, pre-approval for docking by cruise ships and other passenger vessels, and review of mitigation plans for out-of-state workers coming to town.
We have a correction to a story we aired this week on red king crab in southeast Alaska. The Board of Fisheries proposal book incorrectly showed a proposal as authored by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Both proposals submitted on red king crab this year, authored by the Southeast Alaska Fishermen's Alliance and Petersburg Vessel Owners Association. 9 teachers in Petersburg are in new positions with the Petersburg School District this year to help create smaller class sizes for COVID requirements. In the second of a two-part series, we'll look at 3 new teachers at Mitkoff Middle School. 2 of them are permanent hires, one's temporary on a 1-year contract. KFSK's Angela Denning reports.
There are 2 new 6th grade teachers at the Mitkoff Middle School this year. Bridie Short is a permanent hire, and Casey Gates is a temporary hire for the year. Short has spent most of her life in Petersburg. For the last 2 years, she's been doing practicum classes and student teaching for her master's degree in education, focusing on kindergarten through 8th grade. Prior to that, she taught for years at the Good Beginnings Preschool and worked at the Kinderskog Outdoor After School Program. Short student taught in Dan Sullivan's 5th grade class last spring, so she's teaching some of the same students this year.
I am loving 6th grade. I think because it is the students I already had, it's particularly, like, I already have those positive relationships with them, so I got to just jumpstart the year. They're just at a really unique developmental level. You know, their brains are growing extremely fast in 6th grade. There's just all those hormonal and brain changes.
Short says 6th graders already know the basics and are a very capable age. She says she wants to help them discover what their learning styles are to set themselves up for success.
You start to see their interest and their uniqueness and the different ways they're able to handle more choices and really take ownership and initiative of their own learning, which is a really exciting thing to watch.
Short is thrilled to be part of the permanent staffing at the middle school. She says the school district has consistency when it comes to quality teachers.
You really can't go wrong. We have such a great district, which is just so much of why I want to teach here and be involved in it. I feel like there are so many positive experiences that I had as a kid growing up here.
Casey Gates is a temporary 6th grade teacher for the year, teaching language arts and life science. He is originally from Oregon and moved to Petersburg 2 years ago with his wife, Emma Gates, formerly Emma Engel. Before that, Gates had been living in central Oregon in Redmond.
It's literally the polar opposite. You know, we live in a rainforest here, and Redmond is in a high desert. So it's flat, it's hot, and dry.
Gates had heard that there would be a temporary opening at the middle school, so he decided to apply.
Because I've always had the plans of becoming a teacher. So my plan was to get my bachelor's degree in English, which is what I wanted to teach. And then once I was done with that, I was going to go into a master's program to get my teaching certificate.
Gates says he was drawn to teaching because he wants to share knowledge with the youth. He also wants to build relationships with the students so they have a positive influence as they are going through school. He says starting teaching off in the year that COVID protocols began has had its positives for him as a teacher and the students.
It's all a new thing for me, and which makes me feel kind of good because the other teachers are trying to figure out how to manage this as well, so we're all kind of in it together. The students were very excited to be in school and to be participating, which I think is maybe a little bit unique for this year. Normally, you know, coming off a summer vacation, not everyone's excited to be in school, but I think every student here is excited to just be back together with everybody.
Tyler Thane has been hired at the middle school as a permanent special education teacher. He is originally from Craig on Prince of Wales Island. He moved here about 3 years ago with his wife, Lauren Thane, formerly Lauren Briner, and they now have a 2-year-old daughter. Thane has a bachelor's degree in exercise science and is now finishing up his master's degree in special education.
It's really fun. I mean, I love this job. I love the students, and I mean, yeah, I think I just really found my calling with this position.
Thane has an emergency teaching license to cover him until he gets his degree. For the past few years, he has been a paraprofessional in special education at the middle school.
So I know these kids really well, and yeah, it's been an awesome experience. So I've watched them grow the last couple years, and now I get to actually, you know, teach them at the front of the class.
Thane says he likes that special education has a different approach than regular classroom teaching.
It's alternative learning. So you get to really individualize what you do in the classroom to meet the needs of a few individuals as opposed to the entire classroom. So you really get to focus on interventions, and you have the means to record data and record their progress. There's a lot more contact with parents. So you're ultimately a lot more involved in individual students as opposed to like the entire classroom.
Thane was also the head wrestling coach at the high school last year, and he coached track and field the year before that. He's coaching wrestling again this year, but the details of the season are still being worked out. The middle school will be moving to a green, low-risk status on September 28th. That means middle school students will be in person Monday through Friday with early release at 1:15 p.m. on Fridays. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
And this is a second of a two-part series on new teachers in town. Yesterday, we heard about the 5 new teachers at Stedman Elementary School. You can find that story on our website, kfsk.org, or check us out on Facebook. State's challenge to the feds limiting a big game harvest north of the Glen Highway to federally qualified subsistence hunters has been dealt a legal setback. On Friday, a federal judge denied the state's attempt to reopen the specific area to all state-licensed hunters harvesting moose and caribou. The legal back and forth stems from a decision that the Federal Subsistence Board made back in July that closed areas of the Richardson Highway east of Denali to all but a federally registered subsistence hunters. The board cited public safety concerns, saying that area was overcrowded. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason rejected the state's arguments that the board's deliberations had violated the open meetings law and denied a preliminary injunction that would have ended restrictions. The case is part of a broader lawsuit brought by Alaska's Attorney General that also challenges the Federal Subsistence Board's decision that allowed a Southeast Alaska tribe to hunt out of season for moose and deer. The organized village of Cake requested a special hunt due to the COVID-19 pandemic in April, and it was greenlit by the Federal Subsistence Board in June. State attorneys have argued there was no food shortage making that hunt necessary, and that it was discriminatory to grant special hunting privileges to Alaska Natives. The federal government's position has been supported by Native American Rights Fund, a national law firm backing indigenous rights. The judge has not ruled on the merits of that aspect of the case. For KFSK News, I'm Joe Vicnicki. coming up on KFSK, Street Beat Music with Steve Berry, your host this afternoon. And then at 2:30, The High Country with Melina Marvin. At 4 o'clock, All Things Considered, local news and updated weather at 4:30. Alaska News Nightly on at 6, followed by Ebb Tide Music at 6:30 with Julie Spiegelmeyer. 9 o'clock, The Thistle and Shamrock. And 10 o'clock, World Cafe, followed by, at midnight, the BBC World Service broadcast live from London. Up next, weather and messages.
Support comes from the market in Petersburg. This summer, the market is taking place through the online Salt and Soil Marketplace. Shopping is open from noon on Saturday, September 19th through noon on Thursday, September 24th. Local market vendors have their handmade and homegrown products available for you to browse and buy online at www.saltandsoilmarketplace.com. Click Shop Now and select Petersburg from the drop-down locations menu. For more info or to get set up as a vendor for next month's market, email me, Shannon McCullough, at psg.market@gmail.com. The market is made possible with support from the Petersburg Economic Development Council.
Four degrees outside the KFSK studio is the forecast for today. Scattered rain showers with highs in the mid-50s. Winds out of the southeast to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, scattered rain showers, lows in the 40s. Southeast winds 10 miles an hour. Tomorrow, numerous rain showers, highs in the 50s. East winds to 10 miles an hour. And widespread rain showers Wednesday night and into Thursday. Rain showers Thursday and Thursday night. Highs in the mid-50s, lows in the mid-40s. More rain showers Friday and Friday night, and rain through the weekend, Saturday through Monday. Rain in the forecast, lows in the 40s, highs in the mid-50s. The marine forecast, a storm force low over the central Gulf will track north today and weaken by tonight. A gale force low will enter the eastern Gulf by late tonight and track northwest through tomorrow. Inside waters, Stevens Passage, small craft advisory this afternoon, southeast 20-knot winds today, increasing to 25 knots, seas 4 feet, building to 5 feet. For tonight, southeast 20-knot winds, 4-foot seas. Tomorrow, winds out of the southeast 15 knots, becoming northeast in the afternoon, and seas 3 feet. By tomorrow night, northeast 10-knot winds and seas at 2 feet or less. Southern Chatham Strait small craft advisory through tonight. South winds today 25 knots, 6-foot seas, except 10 feet near ocean entrances. Tonight, south winds 30 knots, 6-foot seas, except 11 feet near ocean entrances. Tomorrow, winds out of the south 15 knots, 4-foot seas, except 9 feet near ocean entrances. And tomorrow night, northeast 10-knot winds with seas 2 feet or less, except 8 feet near ocean entrances. Frederick Sound small craft advisory through this evening. Southeast winds today 20 knots, increasing to 25 knots in the afternoon. Seas 4 feet, building to 5 feet. By tonight, southeast 25 knot winds becoming northeast in the afternoon, and seas at 5 feet, subsiding to 4 feet by this evening. For tomorrow, northeast 15 knot winds, seas 3 feet, and tomorrow night, northeast 10 knot winds, seas 2 feet or less. Sumner Strait small craft advisory through tonight. Northeast winds today 25 knots, seas at 5 feet, except 8 feet near ocean entrances. By tonight, east winds 25 knots and 5-foot seas, except 9 feet near ocean entrances. Tomorrow, east winds 20 knots, gusting to 35, seas 4 feet, except 8 feet near ocean entrances. And tomorrow night, east winds 15 knots, with seas 3 feet, except 6 feet near ocean entrances. Fort Clarence Strait small craft advisory through tonight. Southeast winds today 10 knots, increasing to 30 knots by the afternoon. Sea is 2 feet, building to 6 feet in the afternoon. Tonight, southeast 30-knot winds and 6-foot seas. Tomorrow, southeast 25-knot winds, seas 5 feet. And Wednesday night, southeast 20-knot winds with seas at 4 feet.
The 2020 census is happening now and ends September 30th. Completing the census is quick and confidential by going online at www.2020census.gov or by phone at 844-330-2020. Failing to fill out the census deprives your community of $3,500 per person per year. If you are Alaskan Native and living in a mixed-race household, list yourself first when filling out your form. When asked about your race, list your federally recognized tribe or your community name. This public service announcement is brought to you by the Alaska Federation of Natives.
Happy birthday today on the 22nd of September to Ben Case, Harvey Gilliland, Adam Fisher and Lee, Jesse Manish, Eddie Tagaban Jr., Marty Susort, Bill Davidson, Ariel Norheim, Jordan Beyer, Cub Finney, Joni Johnson, and Julian Kumps. Happy birthday. Petersburg Parks and Recreation is offering youth basketball this season, and it is for kids in kindergarten through sixth grade. Schedule the same as last year. There's a $20 per player fee, and it is a COVID-conscious effort with an EOC-approved plan. More details and registration available on the Parks and Rec website, PetersburgRec.com, or at the front desk. Also, you can call them at 772-3392 for more information. Candidates for Petersburg Borough Assembly will answer questions during a live forum this Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on KFSK. It will be rebroadcast at a later date and time as well. And you can send questions in advance to me, my email joe@kfsk.org, or reporter.pilot@gmail.com. Petersburg Medical Center Board meets Thursday, September 24th at 5 p.m. by Zoom video conference. On the agenda, staff reports and a geotech evaluation, 772-4291 for more information. In-person absentee voting for the October 6th municipal election is underway Monday through Friday from 11 to 3, beginning at the training room, or in the training room, that is, at the municipal building, and that continues through noon on Monday, October 5th. Absentee voting can also be by mail, request a ballot by electronic submission through the borough's website, ci.petersburg.ak.us. Deadline to request a ballot by mail is October 1st. More information with the borough clerk, 772-5405, or email dthompson@petersburgak.gov. Property tax bills for the 2020 have been mailed by the Petersburg Borough. If you haven't received your bill or you've received one in error, contact the finance office as soon as possible. Property tax payments must be received by October 15th at 4:30 p.m. More information, 772-4425. That's a look at the community calendar. Fish Radio is up next, and then Street Beat Music with Steve Berry.
At Search, your health and safety are our top priority. If you need care, reach out to your local clinic today. Delaying care can result in preventable long-term health issues. Search has many appointments available by video or in person. Emergency services are open for any who need immediate care. Choose your health, your way. Visit search.org or call your clinic for an appointment.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Seafood eating trends tick up due to COVID. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer. Marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. Online at alaskaboat.com.
Some definite trends favor seafood as a result of the ongoing coronavirus. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute has been closely tracking the challenges and opportunities and is reacting in real time to people's needs. Pre-COVID, most seafood meals were eaten at restaurants. Since then, a continuing trend is more people are cooking more often at home.
In December of 2019, before COVID, 70% of consumers cooked cooked 3 times a week, and since COVID, 66% now cook more at home, more frequently.
Ariana Elnas is a spokesperson for ASME at a Comfish forum last week. Elnas said another trend is increased interest in food safety and